Praise in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, everybody. If you would open up your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews. Second chapter. We'd like to read verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4. Says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Praise God. You can be seated. It's going to be hard to not preach, but I'm teach from this subject this morning. Actually, it's a question. It's from the third verse. The first phrase, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? First of all, I'd like to give God glory this morning for being able to be in the house of the Lord. It just seems like there was a hair's breadth between Brother James and I and death Wednesday. I'd have been very happy to go home to be with the Lord. I would be ecstatically happy to be with the Lord, but I'm glad to be here this morning in service. Evidently, God is not done with this old man yet. Praise God. So there's something to do. How shall we escape if we neglect? Now, the word neglect means to fail to pay proper attention to. If you neglect, when you look in your automobile and you see that oil pressure gauge, in the newer cars, a light will come on and say, stop now. That means on the oil pressure gauge, it means the orange light will come on and some vehicles say, stop now. And the reason that is you're out of oil, and if you keep going, you're going to permanently stop. If you neglect that orange light there. And so, this is the orange light. This is the caution light. And the word of the Lord says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You can get another engine for your car. You can get another car. But if you miss the rapture, there's no second trip. When that train leaves the station, it's gone. And I mean to be on that train. You know, it was like a man was preaching one time, and he said, how many wants to go to heaven? And there was a man on the back row. Everybody raised their hand except him. And the preacher said, hey, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, I thought you was making a load up right now. But how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, words have meanings. And the word salvation, as used in the Scripture, speaks of deliverance from sin and its consequences. Now, deliverance from sin and its consequences. What are the consequences of sin? The lake of fire. As the old-time preachers used to say, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We know that hell is not forever because death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that's forever. Amen. Say, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is if you've been convicted of a crime and you're sent to the federal penitentiary, they got you in the county jail. That's like hell. You're still in jail. You're not free. You're still locked up. But when they transfer you to the big house, you ain't coming back. And so today, salvation means deliverance. And the Scripture speaks of deliverance from sin and its consequences. Now, the word Savior is connected to salvation. Savior in the Bible is the one that brings salvation or deliverance. Salvation is deliverance from sin and its consequences. There is one that brings that deliverance, and he is called the Savior. All right. So who is the Savior? Isaiah 43, 10 and 11 says, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know me and believe me and understand that before me there was no God formed, neither shall be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." That's God speaking in the first person in the Old Testament. He said there's no Savior other than Him. That is why it is so significant and important. When you read in Luke 2:11, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, they said, "For this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So if you're looking for salvation, you got to look to the Savior, who is Jesus Christ. That's why Saul on the road to Tarsus, when he was struck down, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And the next thing he said, "What would you have me to do?" When the Savior speaks, there's something to do. That is, if we want to be delivered from sin. Praise God. And so Hebrews 2:1 says we need to give the more earnest heed. Earnest means fervent or passion. To heed means to pay attention. Now, my mother used to tell me, she had assigned me certain things to do on Saturdays. And as she went to work, she like I think most of you parents, old-time parents anyway, I don't know about the new ones, but my mom would say, "Did you hear me?" And I'd say, "Yes." "If you hear me, the yard will be mowed and the leaves will be raked when I get home." The sound went out, but did I hear? That's why Jesus said they might hear with their ears and understand in their heart, and that they might be saved. You see what I mean? There's a connection there. It's not just the sound going out. Your ear, your heart has ears. I know physiologically it doesn't, but spiritually it does. You can hear with your ears. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing what the Word said. Not what Grandma said or tradition said. And there's a world of difference. And so we need to be fervent about what we have heard. We need to hear the Word of the Lord. Now, it says, how should we escape so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? This great salvation, deliverance from sin, its consequences. There's only one Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ, who is God Himself. Now, it said, with this great salvation first began to be spoken by the Lord. Now, what did Jesus say? None of us were there. It's been 2,000 years ago, but we have the Word. Jesus is the living Word. He is the Word made flesh. All right. And so what did Jesus say about salvation? In Luke 19:10, He said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Remember, salvation is deliverance from sin and its consequences. Everybody that has been born into the world, with the exception of Jesus Christ, were born into sin. We were born lost. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So who needs a Savior? Everybody needs a Savior. Amen. Amen. Everybody needs a Savior. So what did Jesus say? Well, He told us His mission. He come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'd rather just read it out of the Bible today, because so many people say, "Well, that's your opinion." And opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. I'm not interested in opinion today. We're not taking an opinion poll. This is not a popularity survey. The most people believes, the most people wins. That's not how it is. We are looking to what which first began to be spoken by the Lord. it is of great significance that what I'm fixing to read to you was spoken to a religious scholar. He was not a dumb buddy. He was not ignorant of the word of the Lord. He was a student of the law. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the 70 elders that were over the nation of Israel. And when Jesus met this man came to Jesus by night. And he said, listen to this. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Now, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, an educated man, a religious man, a devout man, a man that feared and reverenced God, later on became a convert to the New Testament Christianity. Jesus said, answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Keep in mind, he's talking to a ruler of Israel. Keep in mind, he's talking to a devout man. He's not talking about to a wicked man, a vile man. He's talking to a man that is devoted his entire life to the seeking after God and to knowing God's way and God's will. And here Jesus says unto him, Don't be surprised, Nicodemus. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. All right. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now Nicodemus said, How can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed, marvel not, that I said unto you, must be born again. I want to let you know today that the physical birth is a birth of water and spirit. The way you got into this world was a birth of water and spirit. Yeah, I know that there are denominations that teach that the amniotic fluid that surrounds the child in the mother's womb is the birth of the water. When the water breaks, the child comes and born. But that is not what Jesus said. Jesus said you must be born again. The physical birth is a birth of water and spirit. The water breaks, the child is born. The doctor swats it on the behind and it cries and its spirit enters into it. It is alive. If there's no cry, there's no sound, there's no life. And I'm going to tell you today, the new birth that puts us into the kingdom of God, that gives us spiritual life, is a birth of water and of spirit. I want you to know this great salvation first began to be spoken by the Lord. The highest authority in the church of the living God is Jesus Christ. And He said, ye must be born again of water and of spirit. Now think about that. Not just water or not just spirit. You divide those two up, you don't have any life. Amen. Think about that. Just think about it. Now, Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, we're talking about which first began to be spoken by the Lord. What did Jesus say in Luke 13, 3? He said it twice. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In the Bible, when it uses the word perish, it's talking about the lake of fire. It doesn't mean to cease to exist. It means to be separated eternally from God. That's what the lake of the fire is. And Jesus said it twice in that Luke passage in Luke. It's interesting today. You can look it up. I didn't want to take the time to go to those specific references. John the Baptist came. What was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The first message that Jesus preached was repent. The first message that the apostles preached was repent. That is foundational. That is to be understood. There's got to be repentance is a military term, which means about face. The old time military drill sergeants used to say, repent! They weren't preaching the gospel. They were drilling soldiers. And what that means is put your right foot behind your left heel and repent. So repentance is a foundational thing. It is the first step towards God. There's got to be a turning from sin in your life. A determining. There's a conviction, a pricking in your heart that says, the way I'm living is not right. I'm going to turn away from sin. But it's not a negative thing altogether. It is a turning from sin, but a turning to God, saying, what do you want me to do? Amen. Think about that. Action word. Jesus said in John 7, 38 and 37 to 39, in that last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, that's a key word, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. They couldn't receive the Holy Ghost while Jesus was walking the earth. He said, if I don't go away, I cannot send the Comforter to you. I will not leave you comfortless. Who is the Comforter? It's Jesus. He said, I will come to you. That's why the Holy Ghost is called Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. 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 Notice Jesus qualified this. He that believeth on me, he says, as the Scripture hath said. It's real easy to jump from there to Acts 2, but that's not the context. As the Scripture hath said. What Scripture was he talking about? The New Testament wasn't even written when Jesus said that. So he wasn't talking about the New Testament. Well, then what Scriptures was he talking about? The Old Testament. Isaiah said this, and Isaiah, this is the scriptures Jesus was referring to. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest and the refreshing, wherewith he will cause the weary to rest. It is significant that Jesus said, I believe it's John 11:34. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you, and you learn of me, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Labor, rest. What is the rest? The rest that he speaks of is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews says, we have entered into his rest. The Holy Ghost is typified in the Old Testament by the Sabbath day rest. But Isaiah said, this is the Sabbath wherewith he will cause the weary to Sabbath. If you want to have the rest of God in your soul, you're going to have to be born of the Spirit as well as the water. Amen. Amen, amen. Isaiah 28, 11, 12. And yet in Isaiah it said, but they would not hear. But if you read on, it said that didn't change God one bit. For line upon line, precept upon precept, that's how God confirmed his word. Joel said in Joel 2:28, in the last day saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. What did Peter preach at Pentecost? This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last day saith God, I'll pour out my spirit. I want you to know this Bible fits together like a well-machined thing. It is. There's no bumps or jerks or warts in it. It fits smoothly. You don't have to force it. You don't have to do anything to it. Just let it come together. Amen. It gets sticky when man starts putting his ideas into the Word of God. That's why we're warned to watch out for philosophy and vain deceit. That means empty deception. And there is a lot of deception in the world today. You know, the only thing that can cut through deception is the Word of God. And let me tell you this morning, I just read it. It's in Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I can't quote the whole thing smoothly, but it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Part of the reason that I'm in this faith, this truth today. Now listen, none of you have ever heard me, and nobody has ever heard me say that I preach a denomination. Because when the minute you use denominations, you said there's variety. You know, we have denominations of money. It's all money, but some of it's worth more than others. $100 bill, $50 bill, $20 bill, $10 bill, $5 bill, and a $1 bill. There's no such delineation in the Bible. We don't preach denominations. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. We preach Jesus. He said, no man cometh unto me, except my Father draws him. Jesus said, if you come up any other way, you design your own way, you got your own belief system. Jesus says, you're a thief and a robber. I'm telling you, this way is clear. The Old Testament prophet said a fool could make a mistake in it. If you'll read the Word. You know, one of the reasons I'm in this way, my grandparents were raised what they called them back then by their own definition. They defined themselves as hard shell Baptist. Hardcore. Like concrete. Thoroughly mixed up and firmly set. But you know what cracked that concrete? The hammer of God's Word. He said His Word is like a hammer. It breaks in pieces the flinty rock. And there came a preacher to that Arkansas community in a brush robber meeting, and he preached this. If you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus, your sins are not forgiven. And they were real tactful in those old days. Said, you're going straight to hell. That's how they preached it. And my grandmother was a hard shell Baptist. And when he preached that, she got mad. And she determined that she was going to prove that preacher wrong. So I got her Bible in my garage right now. It's wore out. It's marked up. I've got it. It's there. There's notes everywhere. But she got in that Bible, and she began to search it out. I'm going to prove that preacher wrong. And she studied, and she studied, and she studied. And she went back to that preacher and said, would you please baptize me in the name of Jesus? I see there's no other way in the Bible. It's the truth. The next summer, they had another Breast Harbor meeting. And the focus of that meeting was receiving the Holy Ghost. She thought she had the Holy Ghost. She claimed she had the Holy Ghost. She told people she had the Holy Ghost. Bless God, I'm living like the Word of God says. I love the Bible. I love the Lord. And so my grandmother, she went to that meeting. And the man preached, you must be born again of water and the Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you do not have the Holy Ghost. You cannot go to heaven. And you will not rise when Jesus comes. Of course, here she goes, back into the Bible. And she comes to the meeting and said, I need the Holy Ghost. And God gave her the Holy Ghost. And from those encounters, my entire family was brought into the kingdom of God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which first began to be spoken by the Lord. Jesus preached, you must have the Holy Ghost to be saved. How do you mean? He said you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again of water and the Spirit. Jesus said, he that believes on me, believing is important. Believing is important. But it may not be what you think it is. It's not just a mental assent. Say, oh yeah, I believe on Jesus. I believe He died. I believe He was buried. I believe He rose again. I believe He's coming to me. That doesn't make you saved. Something happens when you believe. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. And I read you, quoted you the Scripture. He said, with stammering lips and another tongue, He'll speak to this people to whom He said, this
is the rest wherewith you'll cause the weary to rest. How do we know? He said, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly or your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And he said, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive.
Like I said, he made a qualifier. John made a qualifier. It's in parentheses. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. When was Jesus glorified? When he rose from the grave and ascended up into heaven. He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you a comforter, even the Spirit of truth. He will lead and guide you into all truth. The question is not, is truth here? The question is, will you be led by it? He didn't say he'd beat you and drag you. No, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So there's a leading. I was meditating on the way to church today about this sermon, message, Bible study, whatever you want to call it. And I got to thinking about a man in the Bible. The Bible characterizes him as eloquent and mighty in the Scriptures. Again, the Scriptures is the Old Testament. He was eloquent. He was a powerful speaker. And his eloquence, and they said he was mighty in the Scripture. He knew what it said. And he came to a place to preach. And there were two saints of God in that synagogue meeting. And they said, he listened to him preach. He was mighty. He was eloquent. It just flowed out of him. And he was mighty. He knew the Scripture. But Priscilla and Aquila, as they listened, it said, he don't know what he thinks he does. He only knows the baptism of John. The baptism of John was a baptism of symbolizing repentance. It was only for 6 months. It was temporary. But even in the preaching of John the Baptist, if you read it, he said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And every tree that doesn't bring forth fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And the soldiers got pricked in their heart. What shall we do, John? He said, do violence to no man and be content with your wages. And other people came and he named off what they needed to do. What was he talking about, Brother Pesher? Repentance. And so that's all Apollos knew. But I'm going to tell you, there was two saints in that synagogue that day. They heard him preach. They liked him. They admired him. But they realized he was short. So they said, let's have dinner today, Mr. Apollos. And they took him away aside. And the Bible said they explained the way more perfectly to him. That phrase is pregnant. What does it mean? When you compare that with the rest of the Scripture, it means that Apollos was not baptized in Jesus' name. He only knew the baptism of John. Hello? And he had not received the Holy Ghost yet. Because John said, there's somebody coming after me that's mightier than I, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Right. Apollos didn't know that. He knew what he knew, and he could explain what he knew, but he didn't know quite enough. Now, he could, listen to this. This is the separation line. Apollos could have had a religious attitude and say, who do you think you are anyway? I'm eloquent and mighty. I know the Scripture. And who are you to tell me? But I'm going to tell you there was a change in Apollos. I'm going to tell you why. Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Now, I want you to know that is the same man that preached, if I or an angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So what does it mean that happened when Aquila and Priscilla took Apollos home for dinner? They explained the way more clearly to him. They got him baptized in Jesus' name, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, or Apostle Paul would have never validated Apollos. That's right. So what happens? You can be religious and be devout and be sincere and be hungry, and you can love God, and you can still not have what you need to have. And that is so. I find that the most difficult people to win are people that are denominationally indoctrinated. We're not questioning their sincerity or their devotion or their love for God. The acid test is, will you walk in the light, beautiful light? Do you see what I mean? Hallelujah. And so, it was. Notice, it was spoken by the Lord. I've got to move on. Luke 24, 46 to 49. Here is Jesus talking again. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. This is after his resurrection, talking to the people on the road to Emmaus. That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, Old Testament, by the way, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Listen now. This is what Jesus said. And that repentance and remission of sins. Now, if you have an NIV Bible, it'll say repentance and forgiveness of sins. Remission and forgiveness are the same thing. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, underline name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're my witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. This is what Jesus said about so great salvation. We cannot afford to neglect it. We cannot afford to slip away from it. I'm going to tell you, Christianity has slipped away from it. They're preaching something else. They're preaching something different. And millions of people are believing something different than what Jesus said. Amen. I'll amen my own preaching because it's the truth. Okay, we covered that. This great salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Now, the second part of that third verse was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. The word confirmed means established. Jesus said what must happen. You got to repent or perish. You must be born again of water and of spirit. Jesus said, you got to believe as the scripture has said. Okay, Jesus said that. Now, it said it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. The question then is, what did those that heard him, what did they say about what Jesus taught them? Let's go to in your Bibles today. To the book of Matthew. Again, this is before the beginning of the church. The church was only existed in the mind and the plan and the purpose of God. Jesus said, future tense, I will build my church. But here's what he said in Matthew 16, 18 and 19. This is after Peter's confession of faith. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay? All right. Now, 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And by the way, the word Peter means Petros, a small rock. The church is not built on a small rock. It's built on a big rock. And that rock is Jesus. He's chief cornerstone to all you Native Americans. Hallelujah. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter.
And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want you to know Jesus gave some authority to Peter, the apostle. And he said, I will give you the keys. He didn't give them to him that day. He didn't give him the keys that day. I will give them to you. Jesus said in Acts 1:5, and ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And in verse 8 he said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and all Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When did Jesus give Peter the keys to the kingdom? He gave him that moment he received the Holy Ghost. He had authority from heaven to bind and loose forever. By the way, Jesus said, I'm the one that opens and no man shuts. And I'm the one that shuts and no man opens. But he did give Peter the keys. And the door is right there. And Jesus said, I am the door. So Peter put the keys in the door. Jesus. He opened the door for them to get in Jesus' kingdom. In Acts 2:37, it said, Then said, and what, men and brethren, what shall we do? There are those that say you don't have to do anything. Just raise your hand and nod your head. Blink your headlights. No! Jesus said, they said, what shall we do? There's something to do. Only you can repent. God will not repent for you. God will not make open your mouth and cause you to repent. He will prick your heart. He will let you know you're lost. And he'll let you know you need to turn from sin. But you're going to have to repent yourself. Is that salvation by works? No way, Jose. And so they said, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them. Now we're talking about believing like the Scripture said. We're talking about what Jesus said. Then Peter said, you know, he just repeated Jesus. He didn't make it up. If there was a place in the Bible, if there was a place, this is strategic. If there was a place where it said, accept Jesus as your Savior, this would be it. Shake the preacher's head. I went to a church one time. At the end of the message, a good message, by the way. Anybody that wants to accept Christ, come forward. Well, that's what we do. We don't use that exact word, accept Christ, but we say, you want to get right with God, come forward. Group of people came down, and the lady was sitting on the over here. She got up. She had this big book. The preacher stood here, talked to them a little bit. They signed on the book. They're now saved. I tell you, baloney. That book wasn't the book of life. There's only one way to get your name in the book of life. And that's to be born again of water and spirit. I'm telling you, people are being duped everywhere. But we've got to get to the fundamentals. Began to be spoken by the Lord and was not contradicted, not added to, not modified, but established by them that heard him. And when they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. And then be baptized. Not those that just want to draw closer to God or think you ought to, or because Susie and Sally got baptized. No, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Baptism has a purpose. It is not a ceremony. It is not a ritual. It is an ordinance established in heaven by God himself. He said, be baptized, how many? Every one of you. How, Peter? In the name of Jesus Christ.
The scripture tells you why you get baptized. For the remission of sins. It is a prepositional phrase. In order to have your sins forgiven, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Pastor said, well, it doesn't matter what somebody says, you just get baptized. I'm going to tell you what the difference is. One, you get wet. The other one, you come out with your sins forgiven. Which do you want? You can take a bath at home or a shower. If you just want to get wet, take a shower. But if you want your sins remitted, you want your sins forgiven, you're going to have to go down in that watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation. There's that word again. Deliverance from sin and its consequences. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is that deliverance again. How are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation? How many of you have ever put something together? You bought, you know, Christmas, or you bought something for your kids, or you bought it, and you're like me. You don't like to read the instructions, just like to look at the picture. And how many times have you got it all put together and there's 10 or 20 screws left? Or you got parts laying over here, you don't know what they are. That's the way people are when they examine this great salvation. They try to put it together, but they leave out some parts. I'm going to tell you, it won't work. You put it under stress, it'll fall apart. Every screw and every nut's got to be in place. Not because it's a legalistic thing, it's because God designed it. Now, move along. In the book of Ephesians, I don't have time to read this. In Ephesians 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit. There is one Lord, one God. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's no denominations in God. There is one body, which is the church. And we are baptized into that body by one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. I want you to know today, we can't neglect. In Jude, he said, I found it needful to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And he called it a common salvation. Not that it was ordinary. It was common among all that had entered into the church. They had all been baptized in Jesus' name, and they all received the Holy Ghost. And by the way, it was the evidence of speaking of tongues that they knew they got it. I can give you scripture on that, Acts 10. We know they got the Holy Ghost because we heard them speak with tongues. It is equated with believing on Jesus. In Ephesians, Acts 19, they believed on Jesus, they were baptized in His name and received the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. Paul confirmed it in Ephesians 1:13-14. He said, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit upon us, which is the earnest of your possession and inheritance under the purchased possession. Titus said, we have a common faith. We cannot afford to neglect so great salvation. To think that a man, woman, boy, and girl could be delivered from sin. Don't buy into this, you got to sin every day. No, no, no. That doesn't float. We don't serve sin anymore. And to conclude this today, I'd like to read a verse of Scripture. They're preparing for worship today. I'm trusting in the Lord that His word is going out. I'm trusting that it's like a spear. I'm trusting that it's like a hammer. I'm trusting today that it is pricking our hearts. I want to be pricked in my heart. I was taken to church from the time I was 3 years old. I thought I was going to heaven because I went to church every Sunday. Memorized scriptures. I thought when the rapture took place, I had all kinds of relatives in that church. I'd be sitting by one of them, and when they went up, I'd grab a hold of them, and I'd go up with them. That was my childlike understanding. But on July the 6th, 1964, my heart was pricked. I realized I was lost. And on July the 7th, I received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. The following Sunday, baptized in Jesus' name. I know the Word of God still pricks hearts. And so, Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1, I want you to think about this today. deliverance from sin and its consequences. The consequences of living in sin is the lake of fire. And this is what Paul wrote. If that troubles you today, if that makes you upset, or maybe makes you mad, I hope it don't make anybody mad. That's not what we're here for. What we're here for. But here's what Paul said. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Listen to this. What's Jesus going to do when he's revealed from heaven with his mighty angels? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not God, that know not God, excuse me, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If you're troubled this morning, you don't have to go away troubled. Can take care of that this morning. Jesus will take care of it this morning. You can come to this altar and pray for the Holy Ghost. You can pray right where you're sitting, and he'll give you the Holy Ghost to stand. And the baptistry's full this morning, and you can be baptized in Jesus' name. And you can go home happy instead of troubled. You can go home rejoicing, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. How shall we escape?